There we go. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call our meeting to order. We have a quorum. And first order of business is a public comment period. And seeing no members from the public, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes of our September meeting. We get a motion to approve those. Sure.
Pointed out by Trina. She's right. I remember being here, although it's not indicated.
Is in color. It's about the fourth page, third or fourth page back, fourth page. And there's been an addition to this report, and it's on the right side. That's the summary of all of the website statistics that we could pull out. We were continuing to have some confusion over the difference between website sessions and website hits, and we have traditionally been reporting sessions, so I wanted to show you that the 15,804 sessions, if you look down the column on the right-hand side, the total hits is 495,000. So we're only reporting to you the sessions, which are the ones that we really believe that we can track for marketing purposes. But now you have all of the website statistics on the right side, and we'll continue to try and put all of those on there depending upon staff time. But that's...
Kim, if I'm not mistaken, is total sessions equivalent to unique visitors?
Yes.
Is that the same? Is that the same bill, do you know?
They...
Total sessions, is that equivalent to unique visitors?
The sessions mean that they go in and they actually work the website.
Yeah. They, instead of just flashing on, they...
Right. Mike who?
Mike's not even here today.
Okay.
So we had 15,804 website sessions in August, and we dealt with 1,240 phone calls. Our total visitors in the visitor center was up to 4,214.
I think another way to look at that, to make it a little more clear, if you're already in the site and you go to another page, that would be considered a hit because you're actually opening up another page. A unique visit would be you come to the website from someplace else.
That statistic should be available to us with regards to unique visitors.
But we have page views also.
Right, that's how many pages they looked at while they were there.
I have a vocabulary list, and on my vocabulary list, unique visitors is not there.
Really?
So we're using some other verbiage, and you're giving me something else that I'd have to research. I can't answer it.
Okay. I was just curious.
And that concludes my report.
Definitely growing, though.
We're almost off the chart.
New chart. Any questions for Kim? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Next item is our budget report, and in looking over the financials, real quick, I see that I could tell it didn't look like we had any expenditures to the two line items or the two budget items with regards to reimbursements.
Ed, would this,
if I'm not,
this be appropriate to use
yes.
our new sheet?
Mm-hmm. Remember we talked about reformatting our budget and time allotted to review of the financials. And to that end, we actually have broken down three different areas that should speed up the process. The first one that we're passing out right now is directly from our advertising agency and Tom Jones Advertising. And what this does is it shows our media, it shows our what we've approved as our media plan for this year. And then this is more up to date than what we had seen in the past due to the billing cycle between the advertising companies, the billing to the city, this payment by the city, and then the recording thereof. So this is a lot more.
Actually, what you're seeing is probably the a preview of what September's bill is going to look like to the city. They actually may have this now, but it's going to work out probably pretty well by the time we accumulate all the bills that we would have, that we would pass on to the city along with our bill, just for justification. It works out to right about the time of this meeting, we're going to be able to know what the previous month's bill would be. So the city hasn't paid this yet, but it's
them or pre-approved them. And so that report will be given to us as one of our sections of our financial to look at. And so all we have to be concerned about is those accounts. And I think that would be the second part, if I'm not mistaken.
What's that account number?
Well, I'm going to guess there's probably several, if I'm not mistaken. Did you, if we see under, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to say that word 50 times, I can see that already. Bob, the account department 3174, which would be on page 5 as I see it, where it says website development and maintenance is the heading title at the top of the page.
Yeah, I'm looking for the numbers. I think it's she broke it into individual parts, 3170 through 3174. So those are the identifiers. And
I don't see that either. I don't see 31.
Well, I'm not sure that there may be no activity on them, so they may not have been included. The thing I was looking at is right at the front, there's a little listing, and it indicates the scope of the report is, and it's departments 3170 through 3174.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's all I was looking at.
Okay. And these two sections, 3170 appears to me to be the reimbursements to the visitor center.
Yeah, I think 3170 is the media, basically the advertising budget any longer. And I'm looking through here. 3172 is the visitor center. And 3170,
okay.
Promotion, yeah.
Okay.
72, and then 3174 is the website. I don't remember what the other one was about, or whether there was a gap. But anyway, the three reports that are included in here.
So you are still going to give us our advertising breakdown.
I can.
That's what's here, right? And then we're.
Yeah. I think it would make more sense to discuss the report that John has created.
Right.
For him, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking that 3170. If that is our advertising budget, and it is, I think 132,914. Is the total on that I don't know if we actually need to see that if we have John's report. But that being said, the two that we would spend a little bit of time just looking at is the reimbursements to the visitor center, which is page 3 of your financials. And the account department is 3172. That shows the reimbursables.
Yeah, page 3 of the report. is the visitor center accounts.
Right. And then the other one is 3174, which is web development and maintenance. And there is no expenditures yet.
Not
to that.
Any
so, John, you
expenditures on the visitor
right,
center either.
Right. So you haven't submitted yet and been paid for any billing for our website upgrade
correct.
Yet. Okay.
And neither has the chamber. The chamber doesn't get paid for the website, and the chamber reimbursables have not been dispersed yet either.
Right. So we'll just to kind of let you know what, you know, this should, I know it's a little bit confusing this morning, but I think in future months it'll be pretty easy to read and understand, and we'll be focusing on a lot fewer, you know, fewer accounts and should go relatively quickly, unless something strange pops up.
In future meetings, we might be able to include it in the packet so that it runs from page 1 through page 7 as opposed to from page 7 through page 1, which might make it a little more simple.
Okay. So are there any the other item, unless, is there any questions as far as the financials go?
All about.
Bob, would you know happen to know why the small, these little tiny changes in the number of rooms reported? That's kind of interesting, that like 842 and then 843. And
you know, I don't know why. I can ask and see if I can get an explanation for the variation.
Without Ascot.
Right, right. Yeah, the 868 pretty much reflects in prior year. Last year reflects Ascot being off. That's 32 rooms, and that was 990. That's what we've consistently reported was 990. Is it 900? Okay. Okay. And now it's I'm wondering if maybe that part of the spreadsheet is messed up, because if you look down.
No, I'm certain the data is good. It's what we don't have is the explanation for the variation in rooms.
Yeah, if you look
what about
at it,
the months in advance?
Yeah, that was my question too. Is yeah. How do you know that months in advance?
Oh, I don't know why they did that, but when they post the information, the information's reported in to the finance department and they post it. So I'm pretty confident of the number of reported rooms is a reported number. It's not an estimate or it's not a formulary.
Well, what we did before, it looked like, was there's a certain number of rooms available in Morro Bay, and it was 900 consistently. Then when Ascot Suites went down, it was 868 consistently because those were the rooms that were available. Now this is quite a change. Now we're saying there's only 842.
Well, one of the things that happened was between this report last year and this year was, is it the Holland Inn or the Golden Pelican? One of them was gone. They did the demo on that, and that lost those number
okay.
of rooms. I don't remember
that's
how
true.
Many of them.
That might reflect that. Yeah, 20 rooms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have one other question, Ed. The trailer park receipts, what happened to that? It looks to me like there's a tremendous drop in trailer park receipts.
Just not finished collecting.
I know that segment is in, they're in the middle of an audit, and it may be that there's some variation in reporting because there's an ongoing audit.
I mean, that's a huge drop from 2,000 to 40,000.
Yeah, I don't have an explanation for that.
I think, though, if you look at the, I'm wrong. I was trying to find some rhyme or reason for that.
It's
but there isn't one.
It's never been
okay.
Ever.
Right. So obviously something's going on there. That. So actually, our total tax collected probably, if this gets updated next month, I might ask Jim just for clarification on that.
And this is with 73% occupancy, even in the hotel.
Right.
So there's something wrong with that figure.
Well, the occupancy rate just reflects the motels. It doesn't reflect, because I don't believe the trailer parks have to report
occupancy rates.
Yeah, I think the occupancy rate is a math of, is a derived number based on the other data. I think the data that we get is the number of rooms and the amount of tax collected. So that the rate that's shown on the chart is derived from the data that we get. So if it's based on bad information, then it would be an error.
Just put it out that way too. Okay. Any other questions? That concludes the budget report. Moving on, ad agency report, Mr. Sorgenthaler.
Okay. I have a few things to share, predominantly about the website, which is all really good news. But first, I'll just kind of show you some activity. We, as you saw from the breakdown on the budget, we had a pretty active month, last month, in starting our advertising. This is a Travel 50 and Beyond, which is last year showed us some pretty good response. And I'll just pass that around. It's a small ad where we supply them with a photograph or cover of our brochure, and then we supply them with the text. So I'll pass that around. And then also we participated with the San Luis Obispo County CBB with an insert that went in various newspapers. I think everybody's familiar with that. We actually got a fire sale. We took this out of our Westways money that's become our fire sale account. If we don't spend any money on Westways, it's our fire sale account. Excuse me. And basically, we're on the back. This is a brochure ad, and this ad normally was $2,500, and we got it for around $1,500, so we saved about $1,000. And Johnny was nice enough to call and let us know about that opportunity. 1,500 visitors come to the site, and the overall traffic from that campaign, if you take those 3 days, we had over 3,500 visitors that came as a result of the email campaign. So when you look at it's fairly close to what we would spend to run an ad in Sunset or Westways, but you know, it's immediate return. They go directly to our website, so it's very trackable. And the paths that they went to were things to do, hotels and motels, lodging, pardon me, Morro Bay packages, and visitor information. The top referrals were the three search engines, the pretty much obvious ones, Google, Yahoo, and MSN. And Morro Bay ranked 5th, 6th, and 7th on those sites as it was listed for this effort. And the next page shows you basically what transpired. This kind of gives you an overview of what's been going on, kind of go along with what Kim reported. Our average user sessions up since last month, but it's an average of 12,351. And this is really good news. Our average newsletter sign-up per month is 60 per month. And I wanted, probably it's appropriate at this time, what I would like to do, and I know Ed had suggested this at one time, and just get the committee's approval to do this. I think it's a good idea. I'd like to go ahead, and I think we have it in our budget to sustain this, is just start doing a newsletter every month to that database. I think between finding, I'd probably talk about the Lighted Boat Parade, you know, various things that are happening in the wintertime, and then just kind of keep that going every month, and then really enhance that, because now we've got, we've got probably 2,500 plus visitors to our on that database, and we have very, very little people opting out. So I think it's been a little inconsistent last year on when we did it, but I think we could sustain that monthly through the budget and also through the communication to those visitors that are signed up for that.
Would you be using money that we've allocated to the website?
Yes.
For that?
Mm-hmm. That's where it would come from. And on this one, we've already really got it produced, because I don't see any reason why, maybe with a modification or two, that we could use the same newsletter that we sent to the LA Times for this first one, because they haven't seen that. I mean, that was not sent to them. It was sent to people in Los Angeles. And so that, I'd like to go ahead and get that one out. I'll go ahead and make sure it's timely. I think we talked about the Harbor Festival, so that would always be pulled out, and we'd probably put in the Lighted Boat Parade. I can send that to everybody, you know, prior to sending it out.
One suggestion, for what it's worth, when people are always looking for things to do, I know that the VCB is sending out weekly things to do in SLO County, and it's pretty accurate, and it includes everything going on. And I'm just wondering, when the time comes to generate an email newsletter, you might go to that latest
sure.
one and just see if there's stuff, you know, that you could pull to include.
I think that would be that'd be a great idea. And if you want to go back to that first sheet, please, there's an interesting thing that occurred with this. And if you look, you'll see that we also had another huge spike at the first of the month, right around 9.8, 9.7. And I was trying to figure out, and Kim and I just talked this morning about what that might have been. Well, that was the holiday weekend, right after, as I always get, Labor Day. And so you can see how important this website is to us, because, you know, we had a pretty active month advertising, but the reality is when all of a sudden there's a demand and people want to come to Morro Bay, where they go is the website. And so this is the activity that occurred there. So we had a really pretty tremendous month of activity this last month on the website. And with that, I think everybody's aware that we've revised the site. Could you, is it possible to go online? I won't take you through each page, but we're now, everybody's seen the flash demonstration, so that's live. We've gone through and kind of cleaned up the site a little bit. We've, over the years, kind of added more and more things. What I would recommend is that I think we should probably go ahead and add one tile to talk about the newsletter sign-up, because I think that's important, and they have that on the home page. And then as you go through, all those like Oceanside Golf, rock climbing, and I know this was a suggestion. I took a lot of the suggestions that we'd had over the time talking about the website. You click on those, and you instantly go to the activities. And as you can see, our menu page, if you want to go back to the home page just for a second, is real clean. Yeah, it's cleaned up. It's just it's a lot easier to kind of navigate through, which is another criteria for a good website. And Kim's been working real closely with us to get us the information we need to update the home page as far as activities and events. And then she'll continue 100 last month. But the reality is we had 14,000 people come to this site, and this is where we really need to sell them. So, and I think you know, our agency's heard from the promotions committee as well as council that this is going to be an effort that we want to continue all year long and really, you know, keep this site optimal. I will share with you one other statistic that I think is fairly interesting, and this is on the, or actually two more.
Yep.
This shows how our email campaign did, and that's what's, again, what's nice about this LA Times effort that we do. It's really trackable. And it's coming around to you in the form of a handout as well. But as you can see, we sent out a total of 77,745 emails. And our target audience was men and women 45 plus, because we want to hit those empty nesters that can come midweek, that can come in the off season when kids are in school. We had a really good, and LA Times assured me that this was a really good open rate. We had a good open rate of almost 30%.
Wow.
And so we had a total of 14,506 opened. And it even breaks down, which I think is great. It shows you how many AOL recipients opened, how many opened as an HTML. So basically the total clicks were 14,440. And then out of that, we had 1,119 unique visits. So in other words, we had that many people, and that's just on that day. So as you saw from the other report, this is just the day the emails hit. This is when the email hit their computer and what they did during that activity. So as you saw, we had 2 days extra, which, as you think, I mean, people don't necessarily open their email that particular day.
Right.
They might be out of town, or they may not look at it every day, especially at their home. I know I don't look every day at home. So the total, which is not reflected in this report, was 3,500 that went to the website, perused the site. And the interesting thing is, too, that they felt it was interesting enough and valuable enough that we had 33 people pass it on to another person. So they thought that, you know, this is a place that 33 of their friends ought to visit as well, which is great. And then pass along referrals was 28. And this is one final little piece of statistics here. With the new site, what we've tried to do is work with Jeremy at New Image Technology to make sure that the copy that we have on the homepage is going to give us optimization as far as where we appear on Google, Excite, all the different, you know, search engines, as well as optimizing it the best we can. And we've really done well, I assure you, because we're number one on Google, which is probably the most important. I think it's a little further down. And as you can see, it's all www.morrobay.org. And as you see those plus marks, like plus 10, plus 15, that's how much we went up in the rankings when we changed the site. So, and it's still, the good news too is that I think this demonstrates that our advertising is working, is that the principal way that they come to the site, over 60% come direct, which means they type in www.morrobay.org. And since we're not moralbay.com, you know, I think you can say that that's our advertising, it's our PR, it's all the things that, and it's also
people are seeing .org,
right? And they're become familiar with it. That's how they gain the information on tourism. So we've done really well, I think, as far as where we're positioned. I know when I go into Google, you know, it's right up on top, and I know years past we're kind of struggled to get it back up there. So, just so you know, I continue to work with Jeremy on keeping that optimized so we continue to be up there. But a lot of statistics, but I think they're all pretty real positive.
Great. It looks like I have a question, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go back to the homepage of the website for me and click on one of the activities that are there? No, down on the right, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, one of these activities?
Mm-hmm. Which I think are probably come from the same place as the activities button. So my question, John, is that we were talking about developing individual pages mm-hmm. for certain activities. So if it was whale watching is one of your, in that opening paragraph, and they clicked on whale watching, it would go to an actual page that would have photographs of,
well, I think,
you know,
we talked
whales
about,
or whatever. So I'm
right. I think we talked about obvious activities and events, and then we'll have that up by next meeting.
Okay. I had a couple questions too. Did we run a contest?
Didn't
we do a contest with everybody signing up, and who won that contest? Is it still going?
Right.
When is the?
We
is there a deadline?
We set a deadline, but we decided to do it after Harbor Festival, so it hasn't been determined at this point.
Okay, I'd be thinking that would be something that we could use to advertise on the website, mm-hmm. and then if we're doing this quarterly, or maybe set up some sort of plan that we are doing something like this—a giveaway package. Incentive for people to sign up.
Are you speaking of on our email newsletter to have enter a contest to win in the email newsletter, or are you talking about when we do like an LA Times?
No, when we're doing in-house, like we have people signing up at the chamber right now and off of the website. And I believe that's the contest, right? And I kind of went through the site. I couldn't find it.
Well, there's been some things that may have dropped off as we went through and did this that are going to have to be put back.
Okay.
But I didn't know that we were doing an ongoing contest. I thought that was something we
did
with the
LA Times. Haven't talked about that. That's something I'd like to see if we do it quarterly. But that incentive package to get people to sign up.
And well, I think you're right, because what I was going to say, and I'm glad you brought this up, I think that one other statistic, and it's buried someplace in one of these pages, but I remember it. And it was pretty telling. We had, I think through this email campaign that we did with the LA Times, we had about close to 300 people went to sign up.
Okay.
And only 80 of them signed up. And I think there's several reasons for that. One is we just, and I took it upon myself to eliminate all the questions that it somehow got put back on. Because I know one way back when, and I don't know how it all, we made it real, we weren't having a lot of people sign up. We took a lot of the questions out. Then we had this big spike. And then going through it again, a lot of questions got put back on. So I took some of those questions off, or a lot of those questions off. And this is actually a recommendation through Jeremy as well, because that's a statistic that he brought up to me. And then if you go to the current page right now, there's no real explanation of what the newsletter is. So what I'd like to do is to take that page, and I think this is something we need to do right away, immediately, and give a little description about what they're going to get if they sign up. And then I think that would be a really appropriate place to put the contest and have that just ongoing, because we need to get those people to sign up. We've got them to where they were going to sign, and I think the main reason this last time was because of all the questions. Okay. People just, they go and they look and they go, I don't think so, and then they move on. And I think the other problem is, and again, the site has just been kind of cleaned, so we need to go back now and kind of relook at it again and put some things back too without cluttering it. But one of those is the newsletter sign-up. See, it's pretty basic. So there needs to be some oomph there. There needs to be probably a copy of the new, a little small inset of what the newsletter looks like, and a contest to sign up, and then an explanation of what they're going to do.
And I would think as soon as we have a winner, we get pictures of winners and the room they're staying in, and really...
I think you need to do that.
Push that, because then it's like, hey, these people really won this. Somebody won something, and gives them more incentive to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, database, I've asked for this a lot, and I think we got a response once on some numbers. Are the number of people we have that do sign up, and the number of people in our database that we have their email addresses that we can send out, not just our newsletter, but if we decide to do another contest, we can notify them. In that database, I'd like to see those numbers.
Okay.
So that we can see if they're rising and how big we can build it.
We have looked at that before. That's one of the reports from Jeremy Software, I believe, that we can generate, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's because I think that number, as I'm getting wiser to what's going on internet-wise, the bigger we can create that number, mm-hmm. The more potential our website has to mm-hmm. really attract some people here.
Right.
The other thing is I'd like to see us... With those numbers, I'd like to see us create some sort of campaign, email campaign for pre-spring, or develop an idea that we're going to use coming. This is a good time to start figuring out what we're going to do and how we're going to use the website and our databases to contact these people, not with just a new
people to it. I think that page ought to become real special, and we really sell them on signing up.
I know on certain things the questions I don't feel are bad, as long as you put them as an option and you put them on the next page. The first thing you want to get is their email address and their name. Something very simple, fill out. And then when they hit a button to go to the next page, which will then give them a list of questions that they have the option to fill out, as soon as they hit that button, we have the database or the information to go into our database when they pushed that button to go to the next page, so that if they don't fill out the rest of it, we don't lose them.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think that the importance is that we're going to add a lot of information that's not so much news information gathering, but selling them on signing up. So I'd keep it pretty clean. I think what we could do is, once we have this list established, we could actually do an email to them, give them some incentive again, and have them fill out a questionnaire so we could find out who they are by doing that.
Okay.
And then it becomes totally optional on their part whether they want to fill it out or not.
The other thing is that there are... I'm doing some research for my company and some other companies that we roast coffee for. And we're looking at, there are some legal I hate to use the word spam, but there are some companies that, for a minimum amount of money, will send out 5 to 20 million emails. And these are to people who have opted in to receive emails about particular information. So if we did it on tourism or about us, and it's very inexpensive to do this. And if your rate of return is minimal, you know, if you get a half of a percent, that's still thousands of people that you get to come to the site and hopefully fill out, and you get to keep that database. So as we figure out what happens when we do one of these, I'll probably bring that back, and if it looks like it's something that would benefit us,
sure.
Then I'll bring that up and recommend we do it. Hopefully that's what will happen. So,
okay.
And I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I think anything that that we come up with that's going to is going to grow that, that list, especially again since we're got a challenging year with less money to spend on advertising. Again, it just gets back to doing the PR and the website is to fill those holes. And if we can cultivate that, because that list is a very important list. Those people are already interested, and
exactly.
They probably have come here, and we want to keep them coming and get entice them to come back. And you know, there's probably just sort of brainstorming, but I mean, we could even offer a referral program where if they refer the email or we do something to encourage them to pass this newsletter on to a friend, you know, that could be another way that you actually have 2,500 people out there selling for you too.
Excellent.
So I have, am I on here? Okay. So on this back to this contest thing, it doesn't seem quite right to just keep this ongoing without a winner.
No, I agree. We should have a winner. I think we should show their pictures too.
Can we pick a date? How do we do that?
Well, wait.
Let's do that.
Are we confusing the contest that we had going with the surveys?
Well, we had one when you sign up for the email. We had it was a package.
Right.
Right. And we just have never had a winner for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Billy said.
Yes.
We also have a contest, not a contest, but a contest survey. Win for the survey. But we're talking about the email.
Yes.
The sign up. So that, I think, needs to be, to choose a winner.
I think you need to get real specific then, like who's going to give the prize, who's going to pick the name.
Because this has actually been going on for how long?
The whole summer, at least.
I think we should do it, but what I'm saying is I don't have enough information to just pick a winner. I don't know what they're going to get. I don't know what the prize is.
Well, I think we need to decide that somehow. And
then what is the
prize?
Does
anybody
remember?
Yeah, if we're going to do it again, I think we need to get that in place before we even put another contest
right.
up.
So I think this contest thing is fantastic. And I think using it quarterly, and we establish, okay, on this date, this is the drawing. And we'll notify you one way or the other. Good time to send out some more information. Okay? Contest winner for Morro Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes out. Everybody's going to open that email to see if they were the winner. And that's a good way to contact them is through their email. If that doesn't work, then we can go to phone numbers.
Well, we've been telling them purposely because we didn't really know who was going to participate in giving us the...
Since I'm not on the promotions committee...
Nice try.
...to go do that.
Keep
so
going.
I think you need to do that.
Well,
and I'll certainly participate, but I don't think that it should be up to me to go out and create packages 4 times a year by contacting the members of the Chamber of Commerce and asking them to donate it for free. And then when I turn around and ask them to donate something for scholarships or something for the chamber, they will turn to me and say, I already did. So I think it has to be a part of the committee. This is a committee project, so it's not just me.
Well, I don't think it should be for free. I mean, if I was going to donate a prize, I would say, well, what's in it for me, other than being a nice guy? And So what they would need to do is we would put them on the website. We'd give them a paragraph description of their property or their restaurant. And with 14,000 people coming to the website a month, I would do it instantly.
Yes.
For a free room.
Yes. I think that package Kim, what do we have for database as far as email of our businesses in town?
I have a complete.
Complete?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe let's send out a...
I definitely will participate in this,
okay.
But what I didn't want to do and what I heard Ed
stick it all
is
on
just
you.
Say, go do it, and I really think that that's inappropriate. I think that whatever we're doing there should be members from this committee, and it's since Mr. Krovitz volunteers weekly at the chamber, you know, you could put him as the chairperson. And, you know, there you are.
Well, okay, hang on a second. What we're going to be getting into is we're going to establish, we already have some, but we're going to clarify this committee issue amongst ourselves, our own subcommittees. We're going to decide which committees are going to be standing, which committees, if we create new ones for tasks, task force type stuff that aren't going to be, you know, regular meeting committees. That being said, I'm thinking that this part of this might fall under the PR subcommittee because it is a public relations type of an activity. You know, you're going to have, hopefully, you know, with press releases, whether they go out internet-wise or print or whatever, those kinds of things would... I just think it's, you know, a no-brainer with regards to where that ought to go. That being said, you know, I mean, there's not a... If you're going to give my name exposure on the Internet through the website and through the email campaign with this, how do I say, this group of people that you're going to be talking to is pretty, pretty defined. I mean, they've already been... You know, I'm
the
trying
issue
to think
wasn't,
of the
wasn't
words
that,
so
and I really do believe it's going to be very. it's not going to be a tough sell. We have the tools to be able to sell this. The issue would be if Kim Kimble from the Chamber of Commerce makes those decisions without the Promotions Committee, the one property that didn't get chosen is going to have a problem, and I think that is where I was going. I think that this should just be part of the Promotions Committee, so. Whoever is going to have the opportunity of giving away rooms and dinner so that they get this extra exposure will realize that this is coming from the Promotions Committee and that all of the lodging and restaurants will have opportunities later. But it's not just onerously me making a decision. I've already been in that kettle of fish, and I choose not
to
go there.
If you send out an email, we did that before, no one responds. It's nuts. But that's what happened the last time. It was, I think, you've brought up that before. So it's just going to have to be
Let's
pick
put
and
it
choose.
To a committee.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I agree.
Okay.
And I think we can...
And I think what should be done, too, is so we don't have to go through this. Just about the time we get one package, we're going to need another. So what I would suggest is that we get very clear on what they're going to get. You know, as far as you're going to have a paragraph description, you're going to have a picture of your...
You're going to get it twice. Because you're going to get... You're in the current contest and the contest winner.
Well, the first...
So whoever's in this, and if we can do a photo op of the people who won the contest staying in their hotel room, going out on their kayak, stopping by Two Dogs for Coffee... It then becomes, boy, I'm going to jump on it.
I think that what we'll need to do in the future is use that disclaimer, though, where, you know, because we didn't do that this time because we hadn't anticipated we were going to photograph them and, you know, say that we, you
right.
know, you're agreeing that we're going to be able to do all the following and have them opt into that.
Well, even if we don't get a picture, even if we can't get a picture, if we can get off
and
just use their name and where they're from.
Right, we can blur their face.
What I was going to say, though, was...
Which has been the policy in the past to a monthly email. It's going to take a little extra money. We've got that money allocated in the website development and maintenance line items. So if we could get a motion to approve that change.
How much money?
Do you know what our cost is for sending out the newsletter now?
Yeah. 12 fours.
What?
If it costs $1 now, it would cost you $4 a year to do it quarterly. And if you go to monthly, then it's going to cost you $12 a year. So it's 12 fourths.
But we don't know what the one that we're doing now is.
It would just be the hours of putting it together, art time, which, again, we have a budget for. You know, it's hard to predict. I would say probably, you know, it's not going to be thousands, it's hundreds, you know, a few hundred to put it together. I'll just work within the budget, and I'm comfortable that we have enough in there even after doing the redesign on the website, which is basically done. I mean, we're going to need to go back in. I mean, you've already paid for the flash in this, in that estimate that I gave you of what the building's going to be. So I'll just work within that, but it's not staggering. I mean, it's not going to deplete our budget by any means.
So hearing from you is that, let me, I'm going to back up just a second, because I was of the understanding that the report that you gave us on the expenditures were strictly media, and then all of a sudden I did, because I didn't really read it, and all of a sudden I paid attention here and said, oh, so we've got our website amount that is being reported in the financials from the city, but you're actually keeping track of that for us too. So
right,
that'll even make life simpler for us. So we can just refer to the to John's page here with regards to website advertising, which includes the art production design and website development and web maintenance. So,
and the reality is that I was always doing this. That's how I keep track of it. I just never gave you the form.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's basically how I keep track of the budget.
I like this. This is a perfect example of why this is good, is because right now we go,
yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yep.
I see.
And there'll be a time when, you know, if we're doing this and there's other requests that we have for the website, and this is actually how it's been done in the past, is that we'll have to move money around. You know, I mean, we'll all of a sudden we'll say, you know, we're looking like we're going to be exhausting this website budget or whatever it might be. We're going to take some money and we're going to appropriate it there. And we need to do that, you know, at a yearly or semi-yearly review, so we don't have the money all spent.
Bob, you had mentioned that you had included that old, I hate to throw this number, that old $9,200 that was held out of our budget, that you were considering including that in the website development stuff. If that's true, it is not reflected in John's. John's is strictly used within. I wanted to ask you that.
I don't have any way of reconciling the exhibit that John gave you with what we've got today, but I'll look into that.
Okay. See. Yeah, and I'll get together with you and
I have a question for you too. Is all of this included in the motion?
Yeah.
We don't have the motion on the table yet.
Actually, no one's made the motion.
Nobody has
thank
made
you.
The motion.
You're still looking for it, aren't you? And so am I.
I would make a motion to extend this newsletter to a monthly website. Newsletter to a monthly.
We get a second?
Second.
I would like to remind John, beside the Harbor Festival, not the Harbor Festival, the boat parade that you're going to include, thank you. We might also want to remember the Bird Festival.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's going to occur in that
right.
Same time the newsletter is out.
Yeah, I think we definitely, we want to focus on Morro Bay activities, for sure. So even if they're 2 or 3 months ahead, people need lead time. And
well, it'll be the very next month. So
right.
It should be included in this newsletter.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. With that.
So any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Great.
I don't know. I just was going to say, do you want any clearer direction on what we're going to do about the contest? Because, I mean, are we going to...
That'll be taken care of
in the committee. Subcommittee.
Yep.
And who's that committee is you?
We haven't done that yet.
That's on our agenda.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
okay, gotcha.
Hopefully we'll get to it. We've got like 3 months worth of business to do today. The last thing that I wanted to, before we leave John's report, is I had asked John to, if you could go to the, we're at the homepage, would you go to the lodging button, hit the lodging button for me, please? Please.
To do this, one is we pay somebody to go in there and just move them around. And That can be done. That's not a difficult thing to do, but you're going to pay, you know, the web guys that we have working for us, we're going to pay them by the hour to do that. Or you can get a database that will jumble them around as you go. And I don't remember exactly what I quoted you there, Ed. I think it was 1,000-something to do that.
It was actually, I'm not so sure, it wasn't a little less than that.
I was just saying for the software.
Yep.
So, you know, it's really a choice. I guess what I would need from the committee is maybe get real specific with it, because Jeremy had talked about that there's ways to do that, and actually, to be honest with you, the cost was about the same as far as having the database or having somebody manually go in and do it. But the database, once you have that, you know, you have it, so you're not going to keep going back and paying somebody by the hour to jumble them around. And then also, how does that person decide?
You know, could we make that a future agenda item then and talk about it next month, John, and you could come back to us with a report if there's...
Some costs.
Yes.
I might have Jeremy come and explain it too.
I understand now, though. I just, you know, that if you develop a database, evidently every time somebody clicks on the website, that database will throw the stuff around, and then it'll pop up in a different order.
Sure.
So, I mean, that was the simple way.
I mean, the only other thing, just to play devil's advocate, is that when people are looking for a specific thing, they might like it in alphabetical order so they can find it. But, you know, that's just...
Well, you know, we can get into an idea of typing in a search too. You know, if people want to go in,
actually, that would be the database.
You might be able to.
It's an alphabetical order that spins, so you never know. It's kind of like doing the lottery.
Oh, I get it.
Actually, that database would be a search. That'd be really what it would be, where they could go in and they could do a search, and then they would come up with what they wanted.
Okay, so the appearance of the lodging and accommodations page would change,
mm-hmm.
because it would now have a search.
Right.
Or, okay.
And restaurants.
So, anyway, that was
one last little before we jump off this website. How does a business that belonged to the chamber or on the website, like I noticed the hotels and motels are linked, and I have requested that my name be a link to my website, and as of last week it still wasn't.
Well, at one point it was, but since there was some changes going on that side, what occurred was the things that we had done at the chamber got wiped out. So we're now scrambling to try and find out, and that includes changes in spelling, you know, any kind of update that we've done in the past several months. So, you know, it's just a process right now, Billy.
Well, I was just curious.
Well, we didn't change.
Besides,
we didn't change the text on any of that.
Okay. What happened was that it got an old copy of what was in the chamber site got put back up rather than the copy that had been there. So that was the issue, and we're dealing with it.
Okay. What my question is. If a business wanted their name linked, who do they contact? Is it through the chamber?
It's through the chamber.
AWatch?
Okay. Right.
Okay. I sent that in last week, so.
And that's exactly when it all went crash. So, yeah.
Okay.
We know.
Right.
Yeah, there's no debating that when we totally revamp a site that we're going to have a few of this fall out.
Sure.
And we really made an effort to start with the home page, then slowly work, you know, page by page. And Kim and I had this discussion a couple of days ago. I mean, it's still going to be the chamber's...
okay, I see.
You know,
it's fixed.
To update it. But, you know, we're really concentrating on the visitor.
My web guy's out there watching this. Thank you, Audrey.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Do you serve cheese with your wine?
This was kind of. I know there's other people that have websites up there that may not be linked, and so this is kind of information for them. Also, it happened that it fell on me, and that's that's actually a good thing, because this should be information for any business out there that has a website. You can be linked by just sending an email, and it happened in less than a week. That I was up. I wasn't last week. I am now. So.
And again, it just gets back to for the want to receive things, and then this goes along with the DVD that we've talked about doing. I've got Phil May working on a script outline that I'll bring for the next meeting, and we'll be in the process of doing that. And I think this DVD, as the important as the website is, I really honestly believe that this is going to be very helpful to us. Because, again, if we get one home run in Travel and Leisure, Sunset, it's worth $20,000. I mean, it'll pay for the DVD three times over, and we'll still have the DVD. And so we'll have that for a review as well.
Great.
Can I make a comment about that?
Sure.
One of the things that I noticed in Westways this last month was that there was three places that were pretty much local areas that got some public relations. So this will be, you know, dealt with the public relations subcommittee. But we have the motel in Atascadero. We had a winery in San Luis Obispo, and the James Dean article that was in here. So the viability of public relations seems to me, there are people who are going to go to this motel now because mm-hmm. this article was in here. And so the more that we can do that, I had a question about how we get to these travel writers. So you've really kind of answered that. And one of the things that has come up recently for me, as many people know, that I have been working up at the Hearst Castle Theater, and we have a conversion report here, but AAA is now a discount at Hearst Castle and all the entities up there. And that's a big thing. It's very new. It only happened a couple of weeks ago. Also, senior discounts. So that's a huge thing for AAA to have a AAA discount. And so Westways, you know, people are going to be looking for interesting things to do on their travels. And I was amazed just in the first week how many people use their AAA discount. And it's an all entities, so it's not only just through the tours, but if you come to the theater, people ask, and I'm amazed at the percentage of people that have AAA. So that's just a real valid point in doing our public relations. I think it's going to be the way that people are going to get here.
And it's probably good to just the realities of how this all works is that. Chances are, in that particular one, and we've been the recipients as well, because we'll have something that'll run. We never even knew the person was here, and we had like the back page article a couple of years ago where somebody had come up, and it was kind of a weird article about this person finding themselves and you know, going through this breakup, but yet we were mentioned, and they found this a very great solitude and all that. So the article was written by somebody that just happened to drive here. And but how PR works is the reality is they're not going to get our DVD and probably write a story off of that immediately. But what they're going to do is they're going to file that, and then when they do a report on the Central Coast, or when they talk about bird sanctuaries, or when they talk about estuary, whatever it might be, we're going to be in that file, and that's really what the key is. The only other way to get them to immediately respond is on an event or activity that they would specifically want to write about, which is always 3 months. Ahead of time, at the least, maybe even 6 months. If you look at an editorial calendar, they've already determined a year in advance of what they're going to write about specifically. And then what we try to do, though, is we get those editorial calendars from like Westways and Sunset, and then if we see something that they're going to write about, because the editorial calendar comes out for the advertisers. So in other words, if they'll say we're going to do a Central Coast getaway in August, that's an appropriate time in January to send them material to not even deal with sales, but talk to the travel writer and say, "Hey, I understand. I saw your calendar, and you're going to write about the Central Coast. Here's an article. Here's some information for you." And that's really how it works. And that's how might even work in that instance. But the DVD, what it'll do is it'll put us in their mind, and then the follow up is really what's the editorial calendars are kind of the key. And again, it doesn't do any good if it's going to be in August and we write them in, you know, even in, you know, in May or something like that, it's probably too late.
Huell Hauser was up last week, California's Gold, and we just happened to know about it, but looking at the Land Conservancy and the Hearst property deal, but those are the kind of things that, you know, if we've produced interesting things, there, somebody's going to come by and it'll
right.
it'll be you know, published somewhere.
No, it's definitely true. We just have to, you know, like everybody else is out there putting in their information, we have to be there with them.
Onward. Thank you very much. Our next item is a public relations subcommittee report.
I think it's always good to kind of go back, and I think if we just kind of make a mention of one or two things each time just to make sure we're on track. I went through this time, and again, because of my connection with Hearst Castle, it popped up with me. This happens to be on page 33, that it was what activities did folks do while they were in Morro Bay, and the third on the list, they did shopping, wildlife viewing, and the third thing was visiting Hearst Castle. And one of the things that we had talked about in the city with the joint city council meeting was, you know, the point about being a destination point. Morro Bay is a destination. We love that everyone come just to Morro Bay. But the reality is that people do a lot of things on the Central Coast. And one of the things that they happened to do was this Hearst Castle. And people, even though it's in the middle of, you know, they go there, they're going from one place to the other, and they're usually going to either travel south or travel north. And I happen to have a lot of questions asked of me. Well, we're going north, or we're going to, you know, where can we stay? So it is really a joint effort on everyone's part to, you know, if they're visiting somewhere else, that we get them to come here. And vice versa, they may be here, and that may be, they've already come here first, and they might go up there. But, you know, I think that that's just one of the reasons I brought up the AAA thing was, you know, if there's an interesting article in Westways, people are obviously wanting to save money with their AAA. They've gotten this magazine, and they might be going to the castle or to San Luis to do a winery thing. So, anyway, that was just one of the things that showed up on here. And I think we need to keep remembering that there are a lot of people who do not know where Morro Bay is. We've looked very hard at guiding them to the website. And there's thousands of visitors that come, like, for example, to Hearst Castle that don't know where Morro Bay is yet. And if we can focus on getting them to come down here, that would be great. Or up here.
It's
so do you want to keep it as thank you for, mm-hmm. for your review of that section. Do we want to go ahead and keep this as part
like
of our monthly
to.
Reports then?
I'd like to.
Okay. I think it's always good to go back and remind people.
Good. All right.
Themselves.
And I can keep doing it if you'd like to someone to kind
yes,
of go
please.
Through and
okay.
check out
yes,
something
please.
That might be interesting. Okay.
I'll nominate Trina.
I would have it.
Okay, moving on then to unfinished business. First item is committee organization. I'm not so sure exactly what that means because we also have discussion about establishing ad hoc committees under new business. Bob, would you refresh our memory again with regards to the, in my opinion, from past, this newfound idea that we got to be careful of how we set up committees because of the Brown Act and public notice. What can we do? You know what we've done. What do we need to do, or can we continue doing what we've been doing?
If we're talking about ad hoc committees, I assume the meaning of that for our purpose is that you're talking about an informal committee to do some assignment that is not subject to the Brown Act so that you can do it informally and that sort of thing. That's what I'm assuming you're talking about. The limitations on that I'm aware of are that it has to be temporary, and that's been described as less than a year in length, and that the committee cannot have a quorum of committee members on the committee, and you cannot have a quorum made up of a minority of committee members from more than one committee. For instance, if you were going to have a special committee, an ad hoc committee that was made up of a couple of people from the promotions committee and a couple of people from the city council, that would create a situation where you'd have to have noticing for the meetings. And that's what this is really means. If it's a Brown Act committee, it means that we have to publicly notice the meetings and hold them in a public setting. And city policies right now, not Brown Act policies, but city policies dictate that when we have these Brown Act meetings that we're supposed to hold them in a way that they can be televised in the community. That's sort of the community standard.
So that being said, when we here a few months ago or 3 months, whatever it was, when we developed and created the public relations subcommittee, was that against, you know, that they're going to try to get together pretty much as needed, but you know, typically try to get together monthly and talk about issues dealing with the, they can't make any decisions, but I don't think any of our subcommittees have ever made any decisions. Number one, they weren't a quorum, but they were just to come up. No, I mean, we'll put the committees together to do tasks as ad hoc committees, and then when that task is done, if there's another task, we'll re-up it, I would guess, and not. I don't think there's ever been a real requirement that the committees, any of the committees in the past, meet every month. It's always been on an as-needed basis, so therefore we can keep the committee status temporary and call it ad hoc, which is, does that work? Does that kind of fall within the...
You would need to create the committee. The committee would have to have a fixed term, i.e. less than a year, and it would have to have a conclusion. Then you'd have to, if you were going to do something similar in the future, you'd need to form a subsequent committee to
okay.
do that.
Is that the calendar year?
As far as I know, the yardstick of a year did not come out of the Brown Act. That was a legal opinion we got from our city attorney. What the reality of that is you may not have a permanent committee, and then the question is, what is a permanent committee, and who thinks it may be that there, you could have an argument at some point with some group about some issue that having a committee for 6 months constitutes forming a permanent committee. The idea of an ad hoc committee is that it has a definite and limited assignment and duration.
So it'd be a year whenever you first met, because after a year it would constitute it being a permanent.
Right? Got it. So I'm guessing, unless there's, did you have any other, Bob, under unfinished business, was there any other meaning to committee organization than just the idea of these ad hoc committees?
The reason that's listed is because of the prior conversation the committee had, and I just wanted to make sure you had something listed on the agenda that enabled you to talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
If you want to take that up right now, then we can forego the ad hoc committee idea in the new business, since that's first step. So we'll kind of get two items at one time. When we first sat down with the council and prior to, I had just developed, because of the things that were brought up and ideas that were brought up, I had just come up with the idea of creating some ad hoc committees. One of those was one of them was a committee that's always been around, which was the budget committee to work on the next year's budget. However, that committee doesn't need to be set up right now. It can be set up in some future date when we get a little bit closer to the new fiscal year. But the two committees that I thought that were in need to get in action, we've already talked about today. One of them was the public relations committee and a website subcommittee. If anybody has any ideas on other committee needs, names of committees, then I think now would be time. I'm thinking that those are the two that we need to put together right away. To work on these things that we got going. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
I think from what my desire was that the public relations committee really was going to be supplying me with information that I might not be privy to, since I don't live in the city, And it's almost the same thing for the website committee, because that information was going to be used for PR but would also go on the website. So I don't know if they're the same. I guess they're not really the same. But
I don't see them as being the same.
No.
Myself. Right now, I believe Bill and David and Ed were members of our old PR subcommittee. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And if we could, maybe we could make a motion to reform that as an ad hoc committee and name Bill and David and Ed to sit on that committee. The promotions committee? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure you're fine.
Right. I didn't know if you had seen the email that Bridget had sent out yesterday to us. John's not here because his wife is ill. So he's kind of babysitting and taking care of things.
I was just asking.
And as far as I'm concerned, it's excused.
John, is not the visitor center supplying you with information?
In regards to
events taking place in the city. Well, other than that, what else are you needing?
Well, I think what basically is to work together and find some activities that I might not, events that I may not be aware of that maybe the visitor center would not, know, or kind of putting our heads together and figuring out unique things that we can go to a magazine and sell them on, whether it be and that gets the word out, but I might need your help in kind of helping me craft what those words are. Not so much as writing the release, but giving me information that we can kind of keep ourselves current in the press.
Exactly. Where I said I see the Visitor Center is supplying you and giving you much information, and the Chamber and the Visitor Center seem to be a center, a focus of where all this information goes and is disseminated. If our committee wants to appoint somebody to be a liaison with John, or give the responsibility to the visitor center to make sure that you have all that information.
Well, I think
that's the bulk of the information.
I think it would be good to have, you may be the appropriate person since you're there, but somebody to help Kim in working that, to being the
to be sure that you see everything. For the most part, the examples you gave of a scientist visiting Morro Bay, that will be a small amount of the of the overall picture.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the events and most of the things that take place in the city, the Chamber and the Visitor Center is very much aware of. And probably the appropriate area for you to deal with would be that group, because they have most of the information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the other thing that we talked about with regards to public relations was the awareness of how we can be involved as a promotions committee with some of these events, whether they're new or old, which is a little different than letting John know that there's going to be an event. I know that there was discussion on the council level about that surfing contest that was here no one knew about it. Well, is there something that we could do as a promotions committee to exploit that, to build that event, to help it grow, to market it? And I think that would fall to me under the purview of a subcommittee like a PR committee. So that was one of the other tasks that I see the committee doing.
That's another object. We were talking about just getting the information on the website. That's one thing. What you're talking about is another situation.
Right. I guess I was trying to justify the need for a PR.
I'm trying to get rid of the PR committee. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to focus on getting the information to John, getting it on the website in a timely manner so it's there.
And I think maybe that's what that subcommittee would do, just to make sure that took place. Because like the surfing one, just use that as an example. I mean, I need more than just the date. I need to know what it is. And again, I'll write it professionally and send it out, but I need the bullet points to craft something that beyond just we're having a surfing contest and it's November 2nd. You need more than that to would be where the committee could help, and just making sure that we get that. And then, as I said, there's going to be overlaps with that, because if I get that, then that's maybe something that's going to be appropriate for the website as well. So there's a little bit of both going to be happening there, PR as well as the content for the website. which is good, because, you know, we've identified those two things as being probably one of our most important, aside from their marketing campaign.
So could we, if you're agreeable, could we get a motion to establish that committee and the members?
Hold on. I would like to not be a part of the PR committee.
Oh.
And I would volunteer for the website committee.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we had discussed with regards to, like, the contest and that kind of thing, we sort of talked about putting that on the public relations committee. So we might need to have, you know, decide what is under each one's purview.
Well, I think what I would like to do is to, because this goes into another agenda item, but my idea was establish our task force and then give them direction to come up with goals, okay, specific goals to accomplish during this year of their existence. Whether it is, you know, come up with four contest sets of things. You know, I earlier had mentioned ideas of you know, generating a certain number of press releases. You know, that we, the promotions committee, will generate X number of press releases for this coming year. You know, it's specific things that we can measure accomplishments with. And, you know, I another one I had was generate two co-op marketing activities or opportunities with other businesses. And I think, again, that would fall under the purview of the PR subcommittee, of how to come up with two, you know, co-op opportunities. And then John's going to would be involved in that, but the ideas in that would have to be, you know, would have to be generated, because that's one of the things that getting other businesses to be involved with, you know, with marketing and promoting this. So that was another idea that I had. So the idea is establish the committee and then have them come up with specific goals, you know, and then what comes out of that, you know, is a lot less time spent here. Mm-hmm. And that was what my idea was, so that our time could be spent more in brainstorming and, you know, coming up with the weirdest ideas in the world you know, of how to bring people to Moore Bay. So that was, you know, that's kind of where this has come from.
So at this time, if we make a motion to recommend now two members of our committee for this public relations subcommittee, do we need to put a time frame on that, Bob, when we create the committee?
Well, if you're creating an ad hoc committee, I think what yours, we would all assume that it's a temporary,
okay,
committee. You might want to put a time limit on it in terms of coming back with whatever product that you wanted back, or some, you know, if you had an assignment like go find out these three things, you might want to indicate what the expectation is for coming back.
Is the reason for the ad hoc just and the Brown Act, if there's only two people on the committee, there's no Brown Act problem here, and this could be a permanent committee, correct?
But the permanent
I would say that under the current drafting of the Brown Act, if you had a minority of the committee on a standing subcommittee, is still subject to the Brown Act. That's the issue.
It's different. It's different than it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, either that or... Yeah.
It's different.
It's weird.
I tried to read it, and I couldn't quite figure that one out.
So we can, as long as we stay under
a quorum,
and we can put three members. We've always put three members on our committees. It's just that now they're ad hoc, and they can't be a standing, what I consider to be a standing committee, because that would be under the violation of the Brown Act.
So it has to be less than a year.
Right.
That was the attorney's view of it. I don't think that's in the law, but
okay.
I think if you use that as a rule of thumb, you're safe.
Okay.
So I would make, I think we need a motion then?
We need. I think we need a motion.
David and Ed K, rather than Ed B. and do we? Can we include John then on that committee?
Would I think I'll...
I mean, you're automatically kind of on it?
I don't think it's formal. I mean, I would think that, you know, I would serve
if there would be has. I mean, if they wanted me to be there, then I'd be there.
To be, I mean, two members, I think, is fine. At this point, we only have six on the board. So, you know, and we have another committee to work on. So is two all right?
Everything? It's okay with me. Mm-hmm.
And then come back to
it. I'm going to be involved with them anyway, too, with all the committees, you know, as far as talking to them.
I'm sorry.
So we have a motion. We have a motion to create a PR subcommittee, and I'm guessing I can call it a subcommittee. Okay. A PR subcommittee consisting of Ed and David.
Ed Krovitz.
Ed Krovitz.
Yeah. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. And again, I'm from a committee from a promotions committee standpoint, I don't know how everybody feels about coming back next month with an idea for, you know, two or three specific goals, whether you work that out with John or however you guys want to do that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we should address the contest pretty rapidly.
Okay. Well, I'm not so sure. I didn't commit personally to be involved with the 1997 contest from which there was never a winner chosen. But, you know, if you need me, I'll be there.
What I would recommend is that maybe through email or whatever, even today, you know, we just decide when we're going to meet. And then, you know, get a date and go from there.
Right. Be specific what the prize is. Set up a time frame. And if it's quarterly, yeah.
And then I think Kim's going to have to help us
well,
with her database.
I thought we were supposed to give you direction, right?
Safety that we let everybody know.
I would also like to, if the committee feels appropriate, I'd like to establish a website subcommittee for all the reasons that we've already talked about, whether it's taking a look at how to fix the website, being involved with these contests, monitoring the email stuff, and working with John, you know, as a website, you know, progresses along. You want to be on it? You're not doing anything.
Using websites? The how to, like, get things on websites and create websites?
I don't think you need to know that.
Mystery to me.
That becomes John's, what John does, telling him what we'd like to see or giving some direction.
Reports back to us. How are reports?
Reports back what
you know?
We think, yeah.
Well, again, I think we'll probably do, you know, when we meet, we'll go through the goals. But, you know, it's also a matter of helping me monitor it. And, you know, I try to police it. But, you know, if we see something, it doesn't hurt my feelings to call and say, hey, you know what, there's something here dropped out or whatever. I mean, I want to get on it instantly, you know, not wait for the meeting or, you know, I mean, it's just all sets of eyes. And I would encourage everybody in the promotions committee, you know, and to occasionally look at it. And, you know, I think we're gone through at least our big changes. But it's just a matter of making sure it's perfect.
I think everybody's going to pay a lot more attention to it, you know, as a group than we have in the past. I know I've looked at it probably three or four or five times. I know that the new homepage was actually shown, once it went live, was shown recently to one of the marketing groups of VCB were looking at it, too, and commenting on it, so and complimenting it. So anyway,
yeah, David has these wild, crazy.
If it's wild, crazy ideas you want, fine. If it's HTML, that'll have to be up to somebody else.
The wild, crazy ideas.
I'm available for the wild, crazy ideas.
Okay, can we have a motion to establish a website subcommittee consisting of Billy and David?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. That takes care of that part of it. What you know, quit warning me. Okay, unless someone has another idea, again, we're going to put off the budget task force till later on in the year. It's not necessary at this time, I don't believe. So if we could, we can move on to the webcam development status, and I believe there's some development.
There is some development.
Some huge development.
Good morning, everyone. Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. I have two things to show. First of all, the camera set up over there, that is your webcam. The picture that I'm showing on the screen up there is the mounting hardware that's going to be going on top of the Boatyard Visitor Center roof line, and we'll be showing various areas of the bay, and we are kind of just debating certain heights and positions on that roof, so we're trying to get as much scenic area as possible, as much as the Embarcadero as possible, as much as the bay as possible. So we just received the last of the mounting hardware last week, and we are trying to work a schedule to get up there and start banging things in. And so I just wanted to bring you up to date on that. But welcome to your webcam.
Do you anticipate being able to show us live pictures next month?
I do. Steve and I are very busy with other shooting schedules, but we are definitely trying to get some time to get up there and put that in. So
great.
We're doing our very best to get that together.
How I think you guys are going to need to, when you get it all set, to communicate with me on how we want to organize that on the website.
Right.
It would be another tile we'd want to have on the homepage.
It will be a link point for, now the webcam is a fully controllable webcam, so when the user actually logs into the webcam, and I will work this out with John, they will actually have control of the camera, so you'll be able to turn and pivot and zoom in on the camera, which could be a lot of fun for a lot of people. And you can also watch others use the camera as well. So if you don't have control of the camera, you get to see others have control of the camera, which is kind of fun. You email people back and forth, and you get to watch them see what they are looking at on screen, which is kind of fun.
And if they stay on more than a minute, electric shock goes through.
No. Well, actually, what happens is there's a limit to the time of control. So you have, I believe it's, we can set it up for from a minute to 3 minutes of control. Typically, a minute is what is normal within the website world. So a lot of people can have access to it. You get basically set as a in a queue to control the webcam.
You might want to think about too, and I guess this is maybe for the when we get around to this, but that page will become probably the number one visited page aside from the home page, because webcams tend to do that. So you might even want to take that tile, that newsletter tile, if that's the goal of the committee, to get as many people to sign up, and put that on that page, because I guarantee you when you get this going, this is going to be the number one page that everybody's going to go to, especially all the people in the valley that want to see what it's like over here.
That's my worry about how high above the fog bank can you mount this camera, because I could just see the nasty emails coming back on a day saying, what exactly do you think I'm looking at?
Given back from AGP at this time. Okay. So we don't know exactly what
those are. In the reality of that, you know, as far as the maintenance costs on that, we're not sure exactly what that's going to need to be entailed to. So
Okay. The
establishment of the webcam, the occasional cleaning of the dome because of birds and such like that is probably what we're talking about here.
Right.
The function of the camera should be consistent, you know, throughout until we have, or if we have a problem with the camera itself.
There was an estimate, and it was in the minutes, but that was a long time ago, and I cannot recall now what that estimate was. But it was certainly something that was within the budgetary constraints of the promotions committee.
But
it was not an exorbitant amount.
But probably not specified in this current budget. So all I would do is remind you that no surprises.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in other words, just if you end up knowing something's coming, let us know so we can,
I'm sure AGP Video will be happy to work out any details as far as that goes. Well, it's just kind of fun watching this camera move around. You know, this is.
Well, one thing you might consider too, if you wanted to fund that. And I know we're not in the business of selling ads, but you could put somebody to sponsor that page.
That's the chamber, and we are.
Well, if you're looking for them to pay the expenses,
This discussion has already been concluded, and there will be advertising on there. So there's going to be some support. That support goes to the chamber to reimburse and as a fundraiser. Those are chamber members, and that was established before we made our commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I tried.
That is correct.
we have a memo from AGP mm-hmm. from August of last year of 04.
Yes, sir.
with some costs and stuff in it.
Yes, sir.
If this is, I mean, not that anybody ever signed this, but this was just kind of an estimate of stuff. So I don't know if this is valid. It doesn't look like it's probably valid anymore.
I would have to refer to Steve and Nancy on those issues,
But it is true that this is not in the budget, so we're going to take something out of this budget to pay for that, or we'll go over budget. So,
right. So there's like a operations and maintenance agreement of $100 a month in here.
I believe this is all being handled by the chamber.
Okay.
So I don't believe the promotions committee has any need for concern on this matter.
Okay.
And we'll take care of the process. And
fair enough.
Technical question. How's the low light capability of this thing at night?
It's very, very good in low light. Now, will you be able to see the rock at night? No, you will not be able to see the rock at night.
The rock wasn't the first thing I could think of, but as a promotion and publicity event for those who can't make it in person, given where you're putting it, could we do a live webcast of the lighted boat parade?
Oh, most definitely. That would be, that would definitely be the process there.
Well, and I think, too, this may be for the PR subcommittee, this may be your first press release, too, because, I mean, when this thing goes live, this is definitely something that we should put out to the press to advertise it, but also it's just we're progressive, we're doing more and more, and it's, you know, it's definitely a positive story.
Well, yeah, and I have to just think of things that go by on the camera, which is the boat parade, the fireworks, and anything that takes place down there, even those yacht races that the Morro Bay Yacht Club occasionally has inside the inner thing, might be things worth promoting that people can watch streaming. It will stream. It'll be
continuous.
How will it update, or what will be the?
Actually, I believe it's 15 frames a second, so it will be fairly smooth. Actually, 12 to 15 frames a second, so it will be fairly smooth in the process. I mean, it won't be high resolution video quality, but it will also depend on the speed of the modems that you are logging on to. Of course, a cable or a DSL modem is going to go a lot faster because there is an auto baud rate in regards to how fast the images download depending on whether or not you're on a dial-up or on a T1 or cable modem and such.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Look
All right.
forward to next month's visuals.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
We need to move on to new business. I'm wondering if we could, a couple of our items on here just because of time. We've already taken care of item D, I believe, up above. I'm wondering if council would mind if we took item B and postponed it till next month. Do you want to address that? Because I think you and I need to get together because you already have.
I think that's up to you. That would be fine. I think they're hoping that you would address it, but...
Well, we kind of already did, but...
But you need to turn it around at another meeting.
I mean, maybe we can see what happens. I know Trina has to get going here, right? I'm trying to run you out now that you've,
I do, but I'm kind of thinking that this is an important one for us as these bylaws, so we get that settled.
San Luis Obispo County. To include the word inside San Luis Obispo County in that sentence. If that's okay with everybody, maybe we could just address these issues one at a time and vote on them to make that recommended change. Are these recommended changes, Bob, or are these, I guess they would be because they're up subject to the approval of council.
Yeah, what would the process would be, you would adopt them and then council would approve them.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they were the last two pages. Here. Yeah, he's got them.
He's got them.
One of the main focuses that the council wanted to address was doing local events and advertising local events, and it seems to me that inserting that inside, it would cover that. It just seemed, we have this discussion, but I think that's an easy way of covering that. And then we have it in our bylaws so that we can take advantage of local event advertising
right.
by doing that. So that, to me, is a solution.
Why don't you make a motion to make that change?
I would make a motion to add inside as well. Well, I don't know how we want to word that. Demographic areas outside and inside the boundaries of San Luis Obispo County. You say as well as? I don't know. I would just say outside and inside the boundaries of San Luis Obispo County.
We have a motion. We get a second?
I will second that.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. That's one. I'm sorry.
Is that your stuff?
Yes. Where'd you find that? Well, that if you take a look up at the screen, that was after our joint meeting when we discussed some of these ideas. I forwarded the wording to Bob, and I believe that's what's up on the screen right now, is those changes. So the wording that we just approved, or what we just added to be approved, says, and demographic areas outside as well as inside the boundaries of San Luis Obispo County. And we just approved to add the word inside. I don't know that anybody cares how we add it, and if that makes sense, we can just leave that. We have the second paragraph, as it now exists today, is pretty self-explanatory. What I suggested at the time was to add a new paragraph below that.
Ed, can I just back up for just a quick moment? In that first paragraph, there's a wording that says, second sentence is, its purpose is to increase tourism to Morro Bay through marketing and advertising. Next sentence, the purpose of the committee shall provide input and recommendations. Isn't there a word missing in there?
Maybe two.
Or three, yeah. Shouldn't it read, the purpose of the committee...
shall be to provide?
Shall be no. to provide or something? I just wanted to change it at this time. I think it's just probably a typo or something. Purpose of the committee shall be to provide input and recommendations. Does that make sense?
You are correct.
Yeah. Rather than say the purpose twice, why don't we just say, additionally, the committee shall provide? We have the purpose here and the purpose here.
And we have two purposes.
So we can say, additionally, the committee shall provide.
I struggled with that in some of the paragraph or the rewriting of some of the paragraphs or additions that I did, too. So
I would even leave out additionally and just take out the purpose of. I would just put the committee shall provide input and recommendations. I would just take out. The purpose of.
Okay, so here's the change to the third sentence in the first paragraph. It shall just say, the committee shall provide input and recommendations to the City Council on blah, 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 blah. Yes. Does that make sense?
That makes more sense than...
We get a motion to make that change?
I'll move to change it that way.
Can we get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great.
Did you catch that, Bob?
No, I didn't actually. That'd be great.
On the third sentence in the first paragraph that currently says the purpose of the committee, it's kind of a repetition of the word purpose. So we just voted to change that to just say the committee shall provide input.
And
the limit.
Whose motion was that?
That was Bill
Ed's.
Made the.
Ed made
the motion.
Tina made it. I seconded it.
Well,
adding opportunities with existing businesses. The committee member will be required to serve as a volunteer at the visitor center in order to understand the work of the visitor center. Each member, and I put that came out of the two-hour discussion. Came out of the joint meeting discussion with council. However. That was one of the big issues that we wanted to take up at this meeting, as to exactly what, if any, commitment we wanted to make to that, you know, to that issue. So before we, the ideas are there. You know, we've been asked to work with other businesses. I think that's a good idea. It isn't specific. It doesn't say how many. That's part of the goal setting process. So it's a general.
I mean, that would include. Could that not? When it says developing cooperative marketing with existing businesses, is going to the business and saying, "Would you like to be the person who provides the contest prize for the website?"
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
An example. Okay.
So let's discuss the idea of the visitor center and you know. I mean, I've heard from Ed, I've heard from Kim, you know, what does the committee think, how do we want to address our involvement with the visitor center?
Well, I'll start by saying, you know, would it be more useful to work at the visitor center in this sort of fully accredited role, or as I sometimes subtly do, sneak in undisclosed and sort of pretend I'm a random shopper just to see what's going on? In other words, is it better to go there fully identified as who we are, or to sort of be as a more inconspicuous eyes on the place, just to, I guess, I'm not saying we need our own ombudsman, but different way of working it. One is totally as an insider and the other is an outsider.
A mystery shopper. Sorry.
Yeah, mystery shopper, exactly, trying to find out what's going on.
I think
well.
Observe rather than serve.
Okay, maybe that's a combination of the two. You're there and you're present, but you're actually seeing how the full-time people who are there on a more dedicated and committed basis are actually doing the analysis itself.
Well, we have someone, you know, I mean, Kim obviously has, you know, finger on the pulse of the visitor center, but I think it's nice to have a liaison, someone who is there kind of in the trenches. I think that's what the mayor's point was, is that we kind of see firsthand what the visitors are saying. You know, I don't know that we need to specifically set a time and commit members to serving there, but I think we should have a relationship in some way. So I don't know if, you know, putting it in terms that we have an ongoing... I mean, I don't know. I'm liking that we have a volunteer down there, and that, they, for example, Ed could report back to us what he's hearing on a monthly basis. You know, what are some of the concerns of the visitor, or what are some of the, you know. But I just am real hesitant to actually put a time frame on each member.
If I might, just it was my recollection that there was some concern that some of the promotion committee members hadn't spent any time in the visitor center. Therefore, it would help you as background in doing your job if you were there. And so maybe rather than having this in the bylaws, just make an effort to make sure that each of the committee members goes to the visitor center, at least has an orientation.
I just had a thought. What if you left the requirement but generalized it to the committee instead of each member, made it a sort of a job for the committee to have a member do this? So it might not always be Ed, but somebody from the committee would be involved at the visitor center at any given...
It's a liaison.
Yeah, kind of like a liaison. So you'd have somebody there.
There is a part of me, though, that likes the idea that as individuals we do go down there and see what's going on. And it's something I've been too lax at, and be the first to admit it. I haven't gone down there and haven't seen what's going on in the last 6-8 months. And I don't know if anybody else has. I do... hear what's going on, but it's a lot different than actually being there and seeing. So there's a part of that I like as far as required to serve as a volunteer. I'm not real keen on that. But as far as observing what's going on down there, and I'm not necessarily into the 2 hours or a time frame on there. I think going down there for 15 minutes, a half hour.
But I think needing to know how it works is important to us. And so how do we accomplish that and put it in our bylaws without getting so specific, like outside San Luis County,
right,
versus all,
right,
you know, to tie our hands?
I kind of like the idea of, you know, the first sentence was, in addition, the committee will be responsible for developing cooperative marketing opportunities with existing businesses. I think we're...
That's fine.
Pretty fine on that. Something along those lines, the committee will be responsible for... a cooperative effort with the visitor center.
Observing
operations at the visitor center.
Oriented and acquainted with the operations of the visitor center.
And
okay,
then
put that into
each,
a sentence.
At each year.
Yeah, well, you're going from one place to another, though. You're not. The purpose wasn't to go down and supervise the visitor center. The purpose was to go down and educate and to create more of a background for you.
I
so
like the observing.
That's the...
Observing, orientation, to be oriented. To.
What about if you just said that the committee will elect a member to be a liaisons between the visitor center?
See...
Hear all that?
Anybody disagree with that?
Well, using the phrase visit to observe doesn't put a time on it. It doesn't state a minimum. It doesn't mean the observance could be brief. The observance could be lengthy.
I think you're still meeting what the interest of the council. I mean, they want to have each member go probably once a quarter just to kind of acquaint themselves. And I like the idea of having a liaison's person, if that's, you know. You're almost doing more. I mean, you're agreeing to go down once a quarter, and you're also going to establish a person
somebody
that's going to be there
serving
on a more permanent basis as a volunteer.
What I find interesting is that when this committee was put together, the Kim's role as in this case, because it's Kim, role was to be the liaison from the visitor center to the promotions committee. Your position was the link to us, not one of our own committee members. And I'm just wondering what a committee member brings back to us that Kim doesn't already or couldn't already bring back to us. It'd be a different perspective, maybe?
Totally different perspective. She's an employer. She is overseeing the employees. We're going down and seeing the operations that she conducts. And
plus, I think that this person's more, especially if they're like Ed's doing, actually volunteering. They're in the trenches, you know, where Kim's at meetings, and she's, you know, it's just a different perspective.
I see it more as John sees it also, that Kim is really the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce. The visitor center is a part of that. They're sort of joined at the hip, but it's a separate operation. It's a separate
of which she is the contractor. As the executive director, she's the contractor to contract and run the visitor center.
Right. I think
so
what they're saying, though, Ed, is that my perspective is as the executive director and the CEO.
I don't disagree.
And so what you're getting from me is that end of the business. And perhaps because your focus is totally about marketing, that you may see something different. And
right,
it's not been until this particular council that this became a question. And I think that was because there had been some changes in this committee, and they were concerned about the background in your foundation in making the decisions. And I truly believe that's where it all came from.
Well, I would like to caution the committee to put something in our bylaws with regards to the word liaison, that if Ed ever leaves this committee, I want to know which one of you is going to fill Ed's shoes, because it's a tough job, and I give Ed a lot of credit for being that person. I'm just real concerned that when it comes time to, you know, to pick the next liaison, what exactly is that going to mean?
I agree with the bylaws, and I said that up front when we started this discussion. I believe that it's something that is a relationship. It's like the relationship with the city council, that perhaps if you can wordcraft something around the term relationship, that that would be more appropriate if it has to go into the bylaws. I do believe that we do have a good relationship at this time. I also believe that it's important for the members of this committee to get a different perspective and to do a walk-in and to do see what's going on.
Action. How would we do that? Do we appoint a liaison? Does everybody want to go down one member a month? You know, make the details kind of on a yearly basis, but make the direction, the guideline in the bylaws. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, is how do we make the direction in the bylaws to let us know...
To sustain a relationship with the visitors center. Sustain a relationship. As I look through,
determined by the committee annually.
As I look through the bylaws, it would be the same as if we went to the public relations and advertising and marketing agency and said, "Oh, and by the way, we need to maintain a relationship with that agency." That's not necessary in here. So I think if something needs to be put in the bylaws that. As vague as possible with the clarity that it is about gaining background and keeping the connection between the promotions committee and the visitor services.
If the goal of the city council is to make each committee member aware or more of what goes on in the visitor center, then maybe we just should use what Billy suggested in saying that each member of the committee shall become acquainted with the visitor center by a visitation to the visitor center to see its operations. So it requires every member, at least during their term on this board, to go down to the visitor center at their leisure, no set time, observe, see what the visitor center is about, and then they fulfill that requirement. And I think that's really what the city council
and
was looking for.
And I like the idea that,
and that's all we
that as
say.
A member you are required.
And
this is a requirement.
They want that, but we'll keep the requirement very open. So
yes.
You go down when you want to, at the time you want to, you call Kim, say, I'm coming down, make an appointment, and go down and spend whatever time you need to acquaint yourself with that. Once that's done, you've fulfilled your requirement to be on this committee.
Yeah, I think it's good to put what they're looking for, put that in the bylaws, and then how we achieve that is really up to the committee. Mm-hmm. But as long as the council feels like that in the bylaws it's what they were looking for. Obviously, they're looking for the committee members to be aware and of what the visitor center is doing. So, I mean, that's, you know, putting that in the purpose, and then and how you determine that mm-hmm. is really, you know, and that's probably a better way to do it because it's more flexible that it would get done then. Mm-hmm.
I see Ed writing a sentence here.
It would make sense. I mean, if
each committee member shall be acquainted with the operations of the visitor center.
So make themselves acquainted by a visitation to see the operations of the
orientation
visitor.
And orientation. Yeah. Yeah. And, and any new member who's seated after January, you would say that would be the requirement. You're on this committee. Now you get the orientation of the visitor center.
Well, I think that could even come when they interviewed by the council. I mean, they could say, you know, as you're considering this is one of the things you'll be asked to do. Are you comfortable with that?
I think a candidate would have gone and checked it out first before going to that interview. But yes.
Okay. Well, that doesn't exclude him from having to do it again.
No.
You'll be going what, three times a week to the visitor center?
Right.
Okay, I'll put that in here for you, especially Trina.
I gotta go.
Say hi to the castle.
Yes, sir.
Through an orientation visit.
I see Ed writing something down here. I got confidence. He got our co-ed.
I'm trying to think of the word for. I'll let you. Well, you can fill in the last part. Each committee member will be required to familiarize themselves with the operation of the visitor center by
personal visitation.
By personally visiting the visitor center.
Yes.
Visit. No, it's going to be more formal than visit.
Orientation through an orientation program.
Well, you want the word to specify that they're going to go to the visitor center.
Right.
So by a scheduled trip to the visitor center.
Not necessarily scheduled.
Well, we talked about letting.
Well, I think it should be. I think that each committee member needs, just don't drop in on Augie. I think they need, the bottom line is you call down there, you say, hey, I want to, you know, come down and see what's going on. You got anybody that can, you know, show me around or whatever. And then you go down and do that. So you're not just dropping in. It's formalized. You're going to meet with. You're going to have a meeting down there to familiarize yourself with it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I noticed that Kim has left the room for the moment, so I was going to suggest that each committee member is required to visit the visitor center and serve as guest manager.
You didn't say it quick enough, Bob. It doesn't say when they have to do this. It doesn't say. It only says that they have to do
during
that.
During their term on the board.
Yeah. So
you might even say each year. I mean,
a term of office could be once in 4 years. So it's getting a little bit further away from what council
right.
wanted once a quarter.
Again.
So you might
just add the word
year.
Yearly.
Annually.
Or annually.
All right. So we can start the paragraph like that or sentence. So if we say, go ahead and start. The first sentence, I think we've all agreed, that can be left in that paragraph with regards to the existing businesses. And then the following sentence would start out by saying, annually, each committee member will be required to familiarize themselves with the operation of the visitor center by scheduling an orientation with visitor center staff.
Works for me.
Does it?
Yeah.
Could we get a motion to approve that paragraph?
Second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Great.
All right.
You got it, Bob?
Got it.
Okay. The that was probably the toughest part. The next paragraph below that paragraph would be, in addition, the committee will develop a specific set of goals at the beginning of each fiscal year and present those goals to the City Council within 30 days of adoption of the city's budget. The committee will also investigate ways to increase visitors to Morro Bay through the establishment of additional events, as well as possible improvements to the tourism and business infrastructure in Morro Bay. Ideas and recommendations will be reported to City Council as needed.
Are these goals, the fiscal goals, would that be the purview of the entire committee or the budget subcommittee?
No, no. It just says at the beginning of in other words, the idea was in the springtime, we start putting together our budget request. That budget request gets forwarded to the finance department. And then between the finance department and the city administrator, this is traditionally now, who knows, but they would get together without us paying any attention to them at all, and they would make a recommendation to City Council at the budget hearings. Then our budget gets set. The council votes on our budget, and we're good to go. Within the next 30 days of, now we know how much money we got coming to us. So now we have some direction on where we can spend our money, you know, because that would change. I mean, we can't, if the council says, oh, you no longer have any money to spend, well, that's definitely going to have an impact on what kind of goals we could try to achieve. And so I thought that within 30 days of putting together that their new budget or approval of the new budget, we would go back to them with a set of goals based on what they what our budget was. That's how I timed that. They weren't fiscal goals or budget goals.
Right. Okay.
They were just our overall goals that we're now working on. If, you know, we're going to work on these goals amongst ourselves for this coming year. It's late, but this is what I thought future would be written in our bylaws. And again, the idea was to to meet requests by council, that we look at things, you know, like ideas of how to increase, you know, ideas on how to increase tourism here, how to increase maybe business, what's wrong with maybe our infrastructure, the signage issue is an example that we have on our agenda. So I was hoping that met council's idea of some of our new scope.
Absolutely.
And yet it isn't so specific that I don't think.
Sounds good. I can't.
You're right.
I
you want to comment?
I'm fine with it.
I'd go ahead and make the motion on that adoption of this language.
We get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great.
Do you want me to work on some goals for this next meeting for people to review? Are you still going to submit the goals for this year to the council?
Yes.
Do you want me to do that?
Well, the idea of the two subcommittees were to come up with...
Those are going to be relative to those particular instances.
Well, you got the website committee, which was going to be...
I mean, I think through the discussions of the committee and what the council's been requesting, I mean, if you'd like, I could draft... I mean, I'm going to make them simple. They're not going to be very many. But if you'd like, I could put those together and email them to everybody and have everybody expound upon those, then we could present the goals to the council.
Right. State law or council-approved special requirements. And that's what fixes that.
Okay.
Because they created the thing saying appointment, they created the section for appointment, that's the special requirement that takes care of worrying about qualifications.
Okay.
Part.
Good.
That's what I got told.
There, under terms of office, there's a typo after the number first, second line. There's a period that is unnecessary.
I think a fly landed on the page.
I see.
At the time, and I don't know. I don't know if that's a typo or not. If it is, we could get rid of the period because it doesn't belong there. You see under term?
Where would you like me to put it?
Back on the fly.
Well,
okay.
There's a leading question.
Our real quick, item C, these are ideas that I've discussed with you folks earlier with regards to goals. It ties in with, and even though we voted on some of this, I want you to know this piece of paper is like 2 months old, so it could still be considered a goal, even though we made some decisions today to go before council. It just means we got it accomplished rather quickly. One of the I just put down as ideas for goals for the coming year is establish individual web pages for every calendar event for the coming year. Increase visits to the website by a percentage. I think some percentage would be achievable based on our marketing and those kinds of things. Generate 5 press releases to promote various events and or reasons to visit Morro Bay. Establish a cohesive plan with the Visitor Center for the fulfilling of ad responses and the relaying of information. That was one of the things that we actually had a policy set. Our bylaws are addressing it. Our liaison ideas addressing it. The discussion that John and Kim have had are addressing it. So. But again, that was the original idea of a goal. Complete the surveys and tally the results that we've got that's been ongoing. Report the findings and recommendations to City Council. Generate 2 co-op marketing opportunities with other businesses to be promoted on the website. Increase email newsletter issues from quarterly to monthly. I think that grow the database. Grow the email database by a certain percentage or a certain number of people. I think that these are realistic goals that we can measure success by, and I think that's why that under the subcommittees that they could, you know, maybe come up with what they thought were best for specifics with regards to that.
Can you email me those?
Yeah.
I don't have a copy of those.
Could you email all of us those?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do that. Okay. All righty, so the idea of establishing goals, and then yes, I agree. I think depending on, you know, that next month we could come up with these goals, and while they're going to be a little bit late for what our bylaws say, our bylaws haven't been approved changes yet anyway because they have to go before council.
Well, I think you pretty much got, I mean, I didn't know you'd already prepared that, so, I mean, those are real, even, you know, very specific, so, I mean, I think we're pretty much there unless there's additional ones.
Even though they're not in written, neat and tidy form, you could approve the bylaws as amended in the way that they were amended today, and then we could create a piece of paper that actually was
reflects that,
and send that on to council if you want.
Okay, so all the amendments that we made individually by motion, you want one motion to amend?
You'd be approving a set of bylaws.
Okay.
With those amendments.
Yeah. Okay. So if we could get a motion to approve the bylaws as we individually amended them.
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Okay. We need to back up. We have two things left. One is discussion on directional signs. Mr. Hendrick, I'm going to guess it's...
Excuse me. I took note of the fact that this staff report was headed to the city council meeting at their next meeting on Monday, and this issue sort of originated with this group, and so I thought you would be interested in the information. There's now a sort of a design scheme and, probably more importantly, a funding concept for putting... renewing the direction signage within the communities, and the council had already discussed the issues of color and design some time back, but it now looks like there will be sufficient funds to do a portion of this. Information would have the same logo and look.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What are the colors going to be?
Blue and tan.
What are they?
Blue and tan.
Blue and tan.
Excellent. Thank you. I like them. I think they look good.
I don't know if this is a separate issue involving signage and somewhat reflects, I guess, tourism and promotions. I've noticed down by the Rock and in the parking lot there, two instances last month that I was down there of visitors defacing the natural environment, like carving initials on the paddle cactus on the rock, and taking souvenirs that were not purchased in stores home, i.e. live starfish and things out of the tide pools. And I've noticed there are no signs. I have not seen signs advising people to leave that life. And I know that, of course, in Montana Doro, because it's a state park, they have the signage that says, you know, things in tide pools stay in the tide pools. But I didn't notice any on behalf of that. Whose jurisdiction or responsibility does that fall under?
Unfortunately, the question of that is complex because it depends on exactly where you're standing, whose jurisdiction it is. The city's, in general, the city's jurisdiction is to the mean high tide line. Coast Guard jurisdiction is beyond that point in the ocean. In the bay, of course, we have Harbor Patrol that enforces certain elements of commerce and whatnot within the bay. In the Back Bay, Fish and Game is in charge by virtue of an agreement they have with the State Lands Commission, and on and on and on. But depending on where, what specific area you're talking about, could be state parks, could be the city, could be Coast Guard.
Hmm. All right, just was wondering, there seems to be no uniform thing about that, but figuring that coming to observe the wildlife is one of our natural attractions, taking it home as a souvenir while it's still alive would be a detriment, and I just don't know how we get some measure of control over, and aside from me turning the car around, driving back and telling them to put it back. And how we can, because it is discover your better nature in Morro Bay, but please don't take them home while they're still alive, I guess would be the subcategory on that.
Kill them first.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, all right.
So missing the bottom line here. This was kind of an informational thing
There's no real action required of the committee. I thought you folks should see it because this idea really originated here, and the committee sort of deserves credit for the fact that it's moving along.
Great.
So there you go.
What you're saying is this is a pat on the back.
Attaboy.
Atta Danny is what that was, an Atta
Danny. Danny.
That was Danny Tobes.
Yep.
Deal. You should probably be pretty happy about now. Okay, so we want to move along to our last item on our agenda?
If you have the time for it.
We just made the time for it.
Okay. Bob?
Time's up? No, just kidding.
I will talk. And I know this is something that's going to come up, I guess, Monday night, the 24th, when the council's having a special, or they're hearing the issue of what becomes of the Duke side and what is the future direction. And I would think that, given our nature, tourism and promotions would be a place that we'd want to go. And this summer I was visiting in Astoria, Oregon, which is a city that demographically and geographically has a lot in common with Morro Bay. I'm at the mouth of the Columbia River. Its population is similar. They are subject more to the vagaries of climate in that they have particularly harsh and nasty winters and a much shorter summer season. But nevertheless, they manage to do a good deal of tourism, and they have, we can submit this to the record kind of if anyone would like, the kind of tourism book. You can see a similar sized town that we have here. And then I came on this Columbia River Maritime Museum. And the first thing that struck me, I mean, there are other places that have maritime museums, there are other uses of this, was their affiliation with the Coast Guard. And I thought, yeah, well, that seems to be a really big attraction to the people who go there. There's this sort of dramatic wave search and rescue kind of thing going on. I realized that right across from the current plant is the Coast Guard here in Morro Bay, and maybe that's sort of an underutilized attraction that we have. And this museum, not only did it deal with the maritime history, because I began to think back, we have history that goes back through World War II. We have all the former fuel dock and the former Chevron and tanker stuff. If you walk in front of the fuel dock that used to be Happy Jacks, and you'll see they have the pictures, there's photographs, there's a documented history. We have a fishing fleet. Again, this goes back to that tourism expert who took that maybe an opportunity there for someone from Hollywood to set up one of those, what they call those experiential rides, where you sit in the chairs and they rock back and forth and they spray mist in the air and wind blows on you, sort of creating like a perfect storm ride as an experience that someone could have. And anyone who's ever looked out at that bay in January or December when the storm and the waves are high creates that sense of drama as being a draw. And I don't think there is any such place between the Maritime Museum in San Pedro, which would be south of Long Beach, or until you get to the Bay Area. There's no history in between. And not only that, but they looked at fish as food as well. I mean, they actually had dinghies and fishing boats and trawlers inside this structure of this museum, but they also made a big deal out of the food. You know, not only was it salmon as something to catch or as an industry, but they also had this exhibit where they had a giant knife and a fork, and it had to do with the canning and the processing of, you know, I like this one here if you have a, so that was my favorite introduction to the salmon. I don't know if they have it, but you see they have a, and you see the giant fork with a fish on the end of it. And that's what I liked about their gift shop. It wasn't just old fishing boats and models of ships. There's a whole section devoted to fish and how you cook fish and recipes for cooking fish. I mean, whoever thought this out really looked at the whole seafaring experience. And the docents told me on a gray, cloudy day, they get about 100 visitors on your wintry day. On a typical weekend, provided there's not a storm, they're looking at 400 or 500 visitors a day. And on your holiday weekends, they're doing 1,000-plus visitors a day. And then I began to think about, you know, co-funding or partnering with this again, partnering with the Coast Guard, because you have a station right here. You haven't got anything between Monterey and the south. And then because the petroleum and the tankers and all of that played a big role in the Central Coast history here, going to the foundational outreach of the ARCO Foundation, or whose tankers ply these waters off the coast, or Chevron, the people who formerly had the tank farms, and saying, you know, this is a part of petroleum that's now become history. Like it or not, it's now history.
And looking at that from a historical point of view, seeing if those foundations might be interested in investing in something along these lines. And anyway, for those who haven't, as I said, seen it, it's a modest structure. It's not a huge place, but if they can pull in, you know, 400 to 500 visitors on a typical weekend, and 1,000 on a holiday weekend, and they have a much shorter season than we do given their climate, I think that possibly one of those things to look forward to in the future. So I was just, it just struck me the similarities between the city, the presence of the Coast Guard, a fishing industry, and they've created a very successful institution. And I encourage anyone, the website is, Bob, the website, www, is CRMM.org, Columbia River Maritime Museum, CRMM.org.
Well, there was a, and I guess there still is, an effort to have a maritime museum in Morro Bay.
Yes, I heard there have been
efforts
in the past.
And part of the problem has been is locating, you know, having somebody donate land. And the land hopefully was going to come from PG&E or Duke. Not all of, obviously, the whole facility, but, and they'd been collecting some artifacts and things like that. But the problem has been its funding and its land, it's the building of the structure. But I can give you one idea of how these things kind of get created. In Avila, there's a marine institute that's going to just about be ready to be done now. And that started through, you know, quite honestly, having somebody that has the wherewithal, the late Russ Kesick, who used to own Sycamore. It was kind of his brainchild, and he was able, because of his owning Sycamore, to be able to start, kind of give some seed money. But then an event each year called Seafair, which is going to be at the end of this month, was a wine and food event that really starts planning like 3 or 4 months in advance. And there's a silent auction, and it's, you know, the food is donated for free, the wine is donated for free. It's held at the Old Port Inn, and everything, basically what makes this work is that everything is pretty much free. So all the ticket sales, all the silent auction proceeds all go into the kitty, and every year they raise about $25,000. So through the funding of either somebody in the community that has the ability to do that, or grants also, there's been some grants. I mean, they are in the process of finishing that. So that's really how these things get created. I mean, they have to start with an idea, and then really the whole thing comes down to funding. I mean, I think it'd be incredible for Morro Bay to have a maritime museum, and we've got the history, all the deep diving, and, you know, all the different things. It's really how do you fund it, you know, and you may start by having some sort of an event that is, those funds are earmarked toward the building of that.
Why don't I will get, and I don't know if Kim, if do you have names off the top of your head who's, I've met these guys like 3 times that are doing the museum or trying to get
a group. So, I just can't remember the names either.
Well, Brent.
It is Brent.
He used to work for Midstate. I don't think he works for them now.
Do you? Maybe you could come back to us and give us an idea of where they are. You know, because I don't even know where they are.
Sure.
You know, I don't mean physically, but I meant in their
right.
process. What is, and I know John, but since you've talked to him, it's been a while.
My information's pretty dated.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll move along. And I know Gene Doherty tried to do it years ago down on the south end of the Embarcadero, if I'm not mistaken.
But so, I think that, you know, if I think it starts with an idea, and you know, you have a somebody that works with me and also works with you guys through me. You have a former Disney executive that lives in your town, Phil May, and he's, you know, I mean, you talked about this ride and all. I mean, he's talked about attractions and things like that being very important. He's welcome to come, but again, it all comes down to how you're going to fund it, whether it's be through fundraising, through grants, probably a combination of all those.
And it can't be Mickey Mouse.
No.
You know, it's got to be.
Mickey Mouse would be good. But he's very expensive.
I think we'd go with maybe Pete the Pelican or something more oriented.
I still want buttons, by the way, before
we
I forget.
We're on the buttons. Okay,
well, that concludes our regular part of agenda. Thank you, David, for that report. Are there any other future agenda items?
Can I just make one more comment to David? You know, you might also, the Santa Barbara Maritime Museum, you might even call them and find out how they got theirs going, because they've got a pretty extensive one now.
All right, thank you.
I think other than
maybe we could go ahead and Bob, on our monthly reports, we could go ahead and add a website subcommittee to the regular monthly reports. Then, yeah, right now we have public relations subcommittee report as part of the agenda. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
And we're still looking for probably an update on the webcam, so we want to leave that under unfinished business. And when, Bob, when do you think that you will have our bylaw amendments ready to go for council to take a look at? Will you have them by Monday's meeting? Okay. The next one? Okay, so maybe by our next meeting we'll know. Okay. Very good. We get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you very much.